Hello and welcome everyone back. This is the 16th shiur in the Shari Tshuva. We are now dealing with the third shiur, the third gate of the Shari Tshuva, and specifically we're dealing with the third madriga, the third level in the levels of severity in terms of sin, each level being greater in severity than the next. Hamadarga hashlishit, the third level. Lav shnitak la'aseh. This is a commandment, meaning a negative commandment, which is connected to a positive commandment. Amar rabotenu zichronam livracha, lav shnitak la'aseh en lo kin alav. This specific type of avira, meaning when a person is going to violate a negative commandment which has a positive commandment connected to it, in both of them, there's like a two-sided coin to it. There is no malchut, there is no lashes in this specific situation. Kagon, for example, lo tikach ha'em al habanim shenitach la'aseh shenemar shaleach teshalach. The example is, for example, the commandment that thou shalt not take the mother bird with the young, and connected with this exact same mitzvah, with this exact same negative commandment, is that you shall surely send away the mother bird. Meaning that you have a positive commandment to send away the mother bird, and you have a negative commandment that you're not allowed to take the mother along with the children. So here you have again a negative and a positive connected together, and as a result of that, there's no malchut, there's no lashes in this particular situation. And even though there is no punishment from the Beit Din itself, meaning here the earthly court does not have the power to be able to deal out lashes, or at least lashes from a Torah perspective, the court always has the option to inflict any sort of punishment that it feels necessary for the sake of the community as a horacha, as a momentary measure in order to be able to raise the level of the community as a whole. But meaning, strictly speaking, from the letter of the law, meaning without invoking any special clauses, the Beit Din does not actually now do any form of punishment. Yesh b'hem onsham chamor v'nagat shemayim. But now, nevertheless, even though the Beit Din, even though the earthly courts don't necessarily have the ability to go in and again, don't have the obligation to inflict any sort of punishment on that level, nevertheless, very often these type of sins have extreme forms of punishment, and they reach all the way up into the heavens. O mishpatam nisa ad shahakim, and judgment reaches into the heights. In fact, the very idea that there is not an earthly punishment implies that this is not something which is policeable by anybody but God. God being involved, though, as the policeman in such an issue, also implies that nothing is ever lost, and therefore the punishment is all that much more assured in such a situation. So examples of this type of mitzvah, this type of negative commandment with a positive side to it, that ends up being extremely strict. Kegon gazel, for example, robbing. Shneimar v'lo tigzol v'nitak la'aseh. It says that you thou shalt not rob, and then it is connected to a positive commandment, v'heshiv et hagzela, that you shall surely return that which has been stolen. Ve'amru lo nechtam gezar dinam shel dora mabul el ad hagazel. And to see now the extent of the punishment that comes out from what seems to be only a third level sin, I mean 3 of 10, what comes out from this sin is that the judgment was not sealed for the Dor HaMabul, for the generation of the flood, except because of this specific avera, for this specific sin. Shneimar ketz kol basar ba lefanai ki maleh ha'aretz chamas. The end of all flesh has come before me because the land has become filled with Hamas. It has become filled with robbery. meaning to say that this form of robbery, which is specifically open, outright, hand-to-hand theft, meaning walking up and just taking, that this form of robbery that shows no fear, not of man, not of God, that this is considered to be so abhorrent that it brings about awesome destruction. Now, it's true, there are things which are considered to be far more abhorrent, such as erva, such as improper relations. And that is stricter than theft. Midat onesh hagazel lahakriv yom edo. The specific idea, though, of theft, of one man caring nothing about the other person and taking from his hands, taking right away from him something, this brings about the day of calamity. Because there's absolutely no sense of respect at all. In the case of improper relations, people are consenting. It's disgusting, it's abhorrent. But there's at least some mutuality here. Here is an outright disrespect for any sense of any decency on any level. And such it is that it brings calamity on the world, where there's no order. There's no sense of gvul, no sense of boundaries. And just like the sands of the ocean hold back the ocean, once you remove the sands, once you remove the boundaries, you end up with a tsunami that destroys. And so it is, ulahachish atidot lo, that theft speeds what lies in store for such a person. And for such a door, for such a generation. Od amru, further, the Chachamim said in the Midrash Vayikra Rabbah, Se'a mele'a me'avonot en mekadreg b'chulam kumo hagazel. A measure filled with sins does not incriminate, meaning the entire pot of sins does not incriminate like the single sin of theft. Theft is the absolute lowest point when a person no longer sees any boundaries, not spiritual, not even physical. A complete and total abandonment of all concepts of good. If you were to ask an 8-year-old child, what's an evil person, what's he going to answer you? A robber. Such is the case. V'ama Shlomo, alav shalom. Shlomo Mel, King Solomon has said, a blessed memory, al otzrot hamirma va'ona, that regarding the treasures that a person acquires by lying in deceit, po'al otzrot bilshon shaker evil nidaf mevakshe mavet. Acquiring treasuries by the use of falsehood is steam driven about, and they're seeking death. Rabbeinu Yonah now explains this to us, and he says, Otsrot hem yamava ona. Hevel nidav hem. These treasuries that were acquired by lying and deceit, these are driven to and fro, like, again, the steam swirling about. They swirl about ki achritam nechilayon, because their end is for destruction. Ve'odem b'yishuto tzorim hem lo. And as long as these treasures are sitting in a person's hands, in his possession, they afflict him. A person who's holding on to that which he's stolen is driven mad by that which is in his hand. Umavakshim nefesh balehem, and these things seek out the soul of their owners. Umisavavim lemoto, and they conspire to his death. How is it that it has such a powerful effect? By having eliminated the boundaries of right and wrong, having driven things to the point where there is no concept of what is mine and what is yours, what he owns and what is in his possession now, he feels to be as loose. He feels it to be as loosely guarded. That now is so loosely guarded, because just as easily as he was able to take from someone else, it can be taken away from him. And so the very matter which he now has taken into his possession, he now fears that someone else as wicked and evil as him will now come and take it away from him, driving him mad and driving him to death. Beyond that, if a person is to steal from a poor person, he then becomes obligated to death from the heavens. Shneemar al tigzal dal ki dalhu. Don't steal from the weak, for he is weak. Do not crush the poor person on the gate. Ki Hashem yarivivam, because God will fight their fight. Vikava et kovehem nafesh, and he will despoil of life those that despoil them. Perush, Rabbi Yonah explains. Atik zaldal ba'avor shudal. Don't come now and steal for the weak, for he's weak. Ve'en ozelo, because you think, what, there's nobody there to help him. Va'al tedake ani v'shar. And don't now come and think to crush this poor person against the gate, v'achlama v'zayon, with disgrace and shame. For you who thought that there was no boundaries, for you that thought that not only there's no boundaries, but you've targeted the weak that cannot defend even the poor boundaries that he has set around himself. You've targeted him and thought that he has no help. You have forgotten that there's a God in the world, there is someone to protect him. How sad and pitiful is it in our entire lives, from the time we can look back to being in school as children, all the way into adulthood, into the workplace, and God forbid, even within the social environments that exist around our synagogues, that sometimes you see those few weak people, and not just weak in money, weak in mind, that those around them prey on them and drive them down, try to disgrace and shame them in order to gain for themselves a name, to gain for themselves benefit, and to be greater and higher. To do so is an atrocity and is an outright affront to God, for it implies that you feel and believe that there is no help for this person, that he has no father, but all of us have a Father in heaven. This disregard for the presence of God in the world is an affront to Hashem. And so it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be there to fight his fight. And when it says Bashar in the gate, Kloma Barabim, that means to say that this is being done publicly. Ki Hashem Yari Rivam, God will come and He will avenge them. He will be the fighter for them. Hakashelem Somech, because these people, they don't have someone to fall back on. Umishi Itzon, and someone to support them, Yari Rivam, and He will fight their fight. God always protects and helps the underdog. Never put yourself into the position of the oppressor or the one chasing. For even if right, if you afflict and oppress beyond what is necessary in your righteousness, you will have what to claim back to God for your lack of reasoning that there is what, in fact, to protect Him, God. So it is also important for us to always recognize and realize that we are never alone. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands always and constantly by us. And just like to oppress someone with the mindset that he is alone, so it is that you cannot oppress yourself and see yourself as ever being alone. For to do so would be to deny the fact that your Creator stands by your side. Fear in itself is a sense of self-centeredness. It is a sense of believing that yourself, to have some distinction and separation from God's plan. There's no room to fear, for God protects us all. The only fear that each and every one of us should have would be the fear of sin, that would drive a wedge between us and Hashem. Bekavad kovehem nafesh, and that He despoils of life those that despoil them. Achrei shuvat elav tzakat adal lo yikach mimcha mamon tachat agzela asher gazalta. Because now you've caused screaming to come forth out of the weak, He's not going to take from you the money that you stole. Aval yishel eloka nafshecha. He's going to seek out your life. Again, all mida keneged mida, measure for measure. By driving this person down in shame, by preying on him, believing he has no ezer, no help, by making him feel and causing him to feel in a sense of existence in darkness, so the darkness will be pulled over you, God forbid. And so also on ourselves. Must always be the valiant fighter for ourselves. Against fear, against darkness, against any sense of not having a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our life. Protecting ourselves from sin is easy when we have developed and recognized a constant sense of God in the world, here and now. How could one sin when thinking of God and acting on His mitzvot and surrounded by his Torah. Umi shiatzik vayitzayer almana ve'yatom. And God forbid, someone that afflicts and causes pain to the widow or to the orphan, ben begazel, whether it be by theft, ben be'oshek, whether it be by robbery, ben b'hahlama, whether it be by shaming, v'chol mini yatzar, any form of afflicting, hayav mita b'de shamayim, he places upon himself a death sentence from the heavens. For like the poor person, for like the weak-minded person, you've driven these people to see themselves as being alone through actions of theft and robbery and shame. So darkness will then come upon such a person. Look and see the horrible situation that exists in our modern day times, that there are countries that a percentage of the percentage of the national gross of that country comes from internet schemes that are targeted older people, the weaker minded people. And you realize the incredible damage that comes out from preying on the weak. Worse than all things are those that abuse positions of power and authority. וכן הדיינים שיש בידם להציל גזול מיד עושק, ויתום לא ישפוטו משפט מוות להם. Worst of all are those that abuse their positions of authority, that have the power in order to be able to extract that which was stolen from an orphan and return it to him in true judgment, and chooses not to do so. Death is the penalty for such a person from heaven. There is nothing more damaging than someone who is in a position of trust, and that position is abused. Be it even to try and extract small favors of insignificant levels. It's an abuse. And God forbid to hold back on proper judgment brings about a massive destruction. For then who is going to be able to redevelop a sense of trust once that trust has been shattered by the foolish works of abusive superiors? Such a person not only is like the thief who no longer sees boundary, is like the thief that preys on the poor, that sees them as having no help, that preys upon the almana, the widow, and the yatom, and the orphan, and sees them as having no father to stand by them. Not only that, but he has seen himself to have power in the face of God. V'hametzayer kol ish Mishrael, any person who causes any form of affliction on any of the Jewish people, afvishlo nichtav bo anashim, Ha'ela over below taseh, even though there may not be detailed punishments described in the Torah for anybody afflicting his fellow neighbor, nevertheless, he is violating negative commandments. Shneimar v'lo tonu ish et amito. Thou shalt not wrong each other. Mutual respect of each and every person, by respecting the boundaries and respecting that God stands in the world and that He's protecting all of these boundaries, this brings about peace. This brings about success and prosperity. Even when a person doesn't violate the borders on a physical level, but just on a mental level, he has entered into a world of sin where the heavens themselves will seek him out for punishment. V'amur rabotenu zichronam v'racha, bo'onat devarim, ha'ketuv medaber. And when it talks about not wronging each other, the pasuk is talking about verbal oppression. V'hu minyan hatzar v'amatzok, matters of suffering and distress. The rabbis of blessed memory have said such. Kol ha-sha'arim nina'alu chutz mi-sha'arei ona. All the gates are locked except for the gates where enter those that have been verbally oppressed. That when being verbally oppressed, these people then gain entrance to the king's palace to request that judgment be brought about on their behalf. Ve'amru, and they've said, Gdola ona'at devarim ona'at mamon. It's worse to oppress with words than it is to oppress with money. Money comes and goes. One day rich, one day poor. But mental scars endure for years. Shizo begufo, because this type of scarring, this is afflicts the individual himself, his body, his being. And this one only affects the money, an external thing to the being. Words have incredible power. They have the power to draw forth into the world the most spiritual light, and have it take form and shape in the world, penetrate through space into the ears of all those that hear them, and lift them into the highest levels. To awaken within the soul of man the very most inner desires of love and awe of heaven. That same power can reach down into the deepest, darkest places of man's soul and crush him and destroy him. With only a few words, entire businesses can be created or destroyed. It's imperative that each and every one of us watch carefully all that which exits our lips. To speak only what must be said. For the extent of damage of words spoken in haste, in anger, in frustration, can be unfathomable. But so good words have that same element to them. And seeing your good friend and saying to him, hello, looking him in the eyes, and showing him some warmth and giving him a few kind words, to him and to any other stranger that may come your way, a simple hello may have extensive effects to cure all that ills in the world and extend way beyond what you could ever imagine. I am always amazed when I find myself anywhere in the world, and sometimes someone heard a class that I've given, or heard over a saying, or went to my website, and tells me, wow, you don't know how much of a fantastic effect this has had on me. It's amazing to me to see that with a few couple of words said here in the middle of nowhere, in one place, having an effect somewhere else in the world. You never know where things will reach when speaking positive and teaching Torah. The next chapter, connected with this third level, Chafei 25. V'haneshech v'aribit yeshbem lo taseh. Interest and increase are part of a negative commandment. Shneimar al tikach miito neshech v'aribit. You shall not take from him interest or increase. V'nitak la'aseh, and it is connected though to a positive commandment, shne'emar, v'che achicha imach, your brother will live with thee. Perush, Rabbeinu Yonah explains to us, im lekachtem ito neshech v'tarbit, hashev tishivem la'achicha, l'man yichye imach. If you take from someone increase, interest, you should surely return it to your brother in order so that he should be able to live with you. If someone is in need of a loan, if someone is in need of help to be able to get himself on his feet, to establish himself with a means to make a living, to acquire the very tools to survive and exist as a human being alongside every other human being, if someone is coming to you and saying that I need to build my space, my existence in this world, and even though you are not like the thief we discussed before, who has no concept of any borders, but here You encroach upon this man's borders that have been weakened by his state of being, where he needs to seek out help and assistance in the form of a loan. And you take advantage of such a situation to pounce upon him to be able to take an increase or an interest from him, to take advantage of him, while true respecting his ability to exist, but nevertheless an encroachment on this. The punishment is huge.
ועונשו חמור מאוד כל זמן שלא תיקן המובט שאינו בא לתחיית המתים.
The punishment is so severe for someone who does such a thing and takes advantage of his brother and extracts from him interest, that if he does not make restitution, he does not rise in the time of Tchiyat HaMeitim, of the resurrection.
Shneemar, it says in Yechezkel, Baneshech Natan v'tarbit lakach, with interest you gave, with increase you gave, with interest you took, v'chai, and live, lo yichye.
You're gonna live? You're not gonna. And the Chachamim have explained that there it's talking about living. When the Pasuk is questioning, is this a person will live? He will not live. I mean, he will not live in the world to come. Because there is no death penalty, not a physical one. So therefore it's a spiritual one.
Va'amru rabotenu zichronam v'recha, our rabbis have taught, ki mi sheyesh bi'ado avon ribit,
that someone who has in his hand the sin of interest, ein malach melitz melamed alav zchut, the defending angel does not speak positively of such a person, does not speak in his merit. For why should he? If this person took advantage of his brother in his time of need, in his time of trying to maintain his sense of decency, of being self-sufficient, of having his own space in the world, and you looked and sought to take advantage and encroach upon those boundaries, mida keneged mida. Don't expect someone now to come to your help and advantage, and therefore this malach, whose job is to speak up that you should not yourself be taken advantage of, will not speak up on your behalf and account.
Going back to the pasuk that we said in Yechezkel, when it says, and live? He shall not live.
This is why it's said in a questioning form. Ayesh Militz, is there someone that will come about and will speak positively on his behalf? Shomar ki dato lichyot, that he should live. Kulam ya'anu, they will all answer. Ve'yomru lo yichye, he shall not live.
And so it is that the positive commandment that connects to the negative commandment meaning a negative commandment, shnitak lase, that has a positive element to it. While there may not be a punishment at the hands of the courts, there may not be lashes dealt out, there is nevertheless a God that watches over all and is involved in all, that will extract what is due. And so it is for all of us to recognize and respect each other's boundaries, each other's existence, and further respect and realize and understand that God stands there by each and every one of us, not only recognizing that in others, but recognizing that in ourselves, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. Those that trust in Him, those that have placed not just faith in His existence, but have placed a concrete trust in God's running of the world, that this person is happy, as this person stands within his borders protected, as we all are, but with a feeling of security that comes from knowing that God is there for us. So it should be in even the most deepest, darkest times of our lives, that we not forget that even here in this place now, God stands with us, no matter how far we may have fallen or where we may be. God stands ready to accept us, to accept our tshuva, our return. For God created us and knew that we would sin, and created repentance, the refuah, the cure, before the plague. May God accept all of our repentance, each and every one of us. And may this come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a plea for Mashiach speedily in our days.